be in the palace. And gradually, the prince begins to remember. Go on, go on. The spiritual teacher continues his stories, and finally, in the depths of his consciousness, the young man's memory clears. He draws himself up straight. His eyes are bright and steady. He has become a different man. Now I recall, he says slowly, as if awakening from a dream. I'm not really a bandit at all. I'm not bad. I'm not violent. I simply forgot who I was. He throws his arms about his teacher. You're my greatest friend, he exclaims. You helped me to remember who I am. And, truly a prince now, he goes home to his father, the king. This is your story and mine. With great simplicity, yet great sophistication, the mystics tell us that we have just forgotten. They say, you have no love for personal profit. We just smile. They say, you're not really devoted to personal pleasure. We say, he doesn't know us. The great mystics say, you really are not resentful or hostile. And we say, if it pleases you to say so, we have no objection, but don't say we didn't warn you. All the great spiritual teachers speak of the same reality and inspire us to strive for the same supreme goal. All have come to tell us of the divine spark within us. But for some curious reason, it is very difficult for us to accept our divine nature. This has always puzzled me. We pay money for books about how destructive we are. We stand in queues to buy magazines that emphasize our capacity for making trouble. We go to encounter groups where we agitate each other over our weaknesses. Then, when Jesus comes to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is within us, we say, there must be some mistake. It is to convince us that our real self is always pure and eternal, that men and women of God keep arising among us and repeating the good news that the source of all joy and security is right within. What supports life, according to the mystics, is the principle of unity. What destroys life is separateness, the negation of this principle. For all of us, however, it still takes many years of listening to the Gita, to the Bible, to the Quran, or the Dhammapada, before we begin to understand. Finally, somewhere, there rings a little bell, just a little tinkle, and we say, tell me more. Gradually, there is a slight response. We begin to remember our heritage. The principle of unity is not something new that someone plants in our consciousness. It has always been there, buried fathoms deep and forgotten. The purpose of meditation is to dig down to this unity and recall what has been forgotten. Realizing the unity of life is an experiential discovery that we can make for ourselves if we are prepared to make the effort required. But this is not something to be undertaken lightly. The spiritual journey is long and full of peril. This is why it is essential to have the guidance of a teacher who has made the journey before us. The outer teacher and the teacher within. The word guru literally means heavy, one so heavy that no storm can uproot him, as heavy as a mountain that withstands the hurricane without flinching. A guru is a person who is so deeply established within himself or herself that no force on earth can affect the complete love that the guru feels for everyone. If you curse him, he will bless you. If you harm her, she will serve you. And if you exploit him, he will become your benefactor. It is good for us to remember that the supreme teacher or guru is within all